2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, whether it's your phone or just your mind wandering while you're trying to concentrate on something, distraction is all around us, even from the fun parts of life. So how can we find focus to do things that we know we'll enjoy? Well, neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny joins us this morning. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Laura. I'm great.
And I've been saying this all morning to everybody. I feel like this was put together by, you know, everyone on our lovely team, because I get distracted so incredibly easily, and I know so many people are like this as well. So what are focus and attention, if that's what we're bringing it down to?
Yeah, so the definition of it is, right, it's your center of interest or activity.
Okay.
So it's where you place your attention. And it's really key, because there's kind of like, it's not just a psychological concept. This is grounded in our biology. We have like areas of our brain that's really specific for paying attention and for paying focus, which is great in a way because we can use that muscle. But in terms of neuroplasticity, the world we live in today is pulling us away. It's stealing our focus and attention. So it's a biological thing, it's a psychological thing, but it's basically where we place our focus and attention. It's the center of our interest.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly hard because there's distractions coming from all sides.
It used
to be that, and actually this is bizarre, but over the weekend I actually read the paper for the first time in so long, and it's the first time where I actually made up my mind about an article for myself without reading the comments and being influenced about how other people think. And I went, wow, this is mad that it's that one simple change, but it did so much for my head. Yeah. But let's talk about the distraction stuff. If we even think about like Andrew on our team here, he is keen to get into like a bit of reading, but he does find himself getting distracted quite easily. So what can he do to actively reclaim his focus?
So we're back to this idea of that it's biological, right? So it's part of your brain. And through neuroplasticity, wherever you rest your mind upon, your brain will take that shape. So it's like going to the gym. It's like working a muscle. So for me, when I'm trying to read, I've sort of lost my focus in the last few years. I often say, like, I'm delighted I wrote a book 5 years ago, because I don't think I'd be able to do it now. It's mad. And even reading for me, sometimes, like, my partner would say, you've done reading already. It could be 3 or 4 minutes. So I feel Andrea's pain.
Yeah.
But I think what you need to do is you need to stick at it. Just keep on reading, keep on working it and flexing that muscle. And that's what's really important. And remove distractions. I think we can get into other ideas what to do as well, but it's basically removing the distractions.
Okay.
So if you're reading a book and your phone is within arm's reach, remove the phone, remove the distractions. That is really, really important.
It's just second nature for us to just pick up the phone and scroll. We don't even realise that we're doing it. And like, I've got TV shows that I call like my scrolling TV shows, because I can have them on the background. I don't really need to pay attention because it's while I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
But then that comes into TV shows that I do need to pay attention in, that I've missed huge chunks of because I've been scrolling while I've been watching, and it's just really hard. How is all of this linked to like a bit of self-awareness?
The self-awareness piece is really, really crucial. And there's another piece of that I think is really important in terms of talking about attention. And we kind of, it links into why it's really important as well. So if we're trying to, let's say Andre's trying to read a book, that's his goal in that moment, right? That's called our spotlight of attention.
Okay.
So that's the spotlight of attention we have right now. But there's another concept that they talk about, which is the starlight of attention. And it's so-called the starlight because it's your guiding, your north star of where you want to go. So that's like your medium and your long-term goals. But if you're constantly being distracted, your level of self-awareness is not there. You're not aware of the short-term goals. You're not aware of the medium and long-term goals.
Okay.
The mind is wandering. And that is really important, because if the mind is wandering, what's the mind wandering about? You're probably worrying about a projected future that's never going to happen. Your brain has most likely been hijacked by technology. The dopamine response is embedded within your brain. Mm. You're saying, I'll jump on my phone, I'll do this, I'll do that. Or maybe I shouldn't jump on my phone, but I'll just jump on it for 10 minutes. This sort of narrative that's going on in your head, like you're totally distracted away from the task. I often find myself, I'd be working at home trying to focus. My focus is best in the mornings, and I have to pick up my phone for a work-related thing. But all of a sudden, I'm on Instagram, I'm checking this, I'm on WhatsApp. I could be 7 degrees away from where I want to be, and I'm like, oh my God, it's a couple of minutes gone by and I've completely lost the focus. So that's where the self-awareness piece comes in. You have to be aware enough to catch yourself out of awareness to bring yourself back. And again, it's like a muscle.
Yeah, I talk about it an awful lot, but notification blindness, where there's so many notifications coming in that I actually miss really important messages because I forget, because I've glanced at it and then next thing like that, I'm on TikTok or I'm on Instagram or I'm back in like a different email thread that has nothing to do with what I started off with. And then I've completely forgot to respond to that. Am I asking the obvious question here about like, why are so many people distracted today? Is it all to do with their phones? And look, I'm not going to sit here and bash using our phones because I think it's phenomenal what we can do and how connected we can be with people. But obviously we have to figure out what the line is.
That's the problem with phones as well. They're so incredible. Useful, you know, that way, that's the problem. But when I think of the biggest problem with distractions today, I always come back to this evolutionary mismatch. And what that means is we have evolved over millions of years, but in the blink of an eye, we're living in cities with so many distractions. We've had the computer revolution, the smartphone revolution. TikTok is single digits, like, you know, our brains have not evolved for the world we live in today. There's so many distractions, there's so many choices, there's so many options. We're seeing the best version of other people's lives, what their kids are doing, what they're doing, the holidays they're going on. There's a challenge with just making decisions, and our brains have not adapted for that. But I'd like to bring in even another element of neuroscience as well. Like, people often think of the amygdala as the emotion center of the brain. The amygdala really is more the important center of the brain. But if something is important, basically there'll be emotions attached to that as well. If something is important and it's brilliant, it's going to bring you joy and happiness. It will be emotive. But if something is worrying and fearful, there would be emotions attached to that as well. So all of this information, you could be looking at the wars on the news, you could be looking at holidays, thinking about your own holidays, we're constantly being distracted at an emotional level, and it's just pulling us off course. But it comes back to this evolutionary mismatch. Our bodies and brains did not evolve for the world we live in today, and it certainly didn't evolve for phones. And I just think there's just too many options and there's an inability for people to say no. We're saying yes to so many things, we're rushing around, we're trying to get stuff done. And it's really challenging.
But it's really hard because we spoke about this only like last week, I'm pretty sure, about, yeah, you absolutely have to set boundaries and you have to be able to go, no, I actually need to lie down. I spoke about over Christmas how I went home until Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I came back up on Stephen's Day and my family were like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I have to go back up to Dublin. They're like, why do you work? And I said, no, I need to lie down. and that was the most like, oh, how's your lying down going happening? But I knew that this year was going to be so busy that my only window was for a week over the Christmas period to actually lie down and watch TV and be a bit of a sloth. But I felt so guilty about it because I felt like, oh no, I haven't done this. Where I'm getting to is, it's this awkward juggle act that we have the whole time of actually, you know, making sure that we are looking out for our friends and feeding those relationships and hanging out with people and our partners and, you know, not focusing on work so much all the time, but then also taking the time to say no for ourselves. But sometimes we get rooted in the no a bit too much and then we cut out everybody.
Yeah, it always comes back down to balance, Laura, doesn't it? Because the pendulum can swing one way and then we need to do more for myself, and then you're just doing too much of that. It's a massive challenge, but I do think, for me, there's other foundational factors that are in here as well. Like, a big focus for me this year, I've lost focus in my life. My attention span isn't where I want it to be. But I found myself rushing around. There are too many things on. And I had an incredible 2 years. I really had a great 2 years, but I was just too busy. But I felt disconnected from loved ones. Not disconnected. I wasn't spending enough time with loved ones. Yeah. And I wasn't spending enough time with myself. I'm so impressed that you spent that time to lie down. Like, that is just so important.
I paid for it. Like, yeah. I mean, it's still like, oh, I suppose you probably want to go lie down. You don't want to come to dinner this evening. Like, this will be me married for the rest of my life. It's like when I was 10, I said I was bored in a match and that stayed with me till I was about 25.
But it's like, I think what we've got to do is we've just got to slow down or really minimalise the amount of inputs that are coming into our lives and protect that time. Like, it's really, really important. But it's accountability around that as well. Like, it depends what your ability is to do. Like, float tanks are something for me. I like doing float tanks. I go in there, I'm forcing myself to spend 50 minutes to myself. It's like a sensory deprivation thing. And that's like a huge burst of spending time being focused, of slowing down. But I've found this year, like yourself, I sort of reviewed my year and I really want to slow down. I want to say yes to things that are like 6 and 7 out of 10s, especially business things, so I can spend spend more time with my family, which is 10 out of 10s, you know? I was going to say 9 out of 10s. Look, I got the 10 out of 10 in there. But it's more time with yourself, because again, like, people have a certain set of values in your life, and it might seem selfish to say your health is your number one ahead of your family, but if your health isn't right and your energy isn't right, you're not going to be there for them.
Yeah.
So you've got to look after yourself. But I think something that I often think about, what gets measured gets managed. We've got to really keep an eye on this and sort of say, right, well, what's your goals? We're back to attention and focus. My goals for this year is to spend more time with family and loved ones. That's a midterm goal. That's my starlight of attention. Mm. But I start to write that down. I keep track of that. And I have a little balance wheel that I do every month. And I say, right, where's my financial life at the moment? I rate it out of 10. The people in my life, the finances, the health, the personal development, spirituality in terms of awareness and energy are really important to me. So nearly measure it and track it. And what gets measured gets managed is really critical as well.
Yeah.
And it helps you then to take the actions that you need to remove those distractions in your life and go in the direction where you want to go.
That's a real practical approach to something that feels like it's quite whimsy. Like, the days are fast and the weeks just roll in. I mean, we're already on the 15th of January right now. So like, anyone who's made New Year's resolutions, you're halfway there at this point.
Yeah.
How are we reclaiming our focus? I really like the idea of what you said about the flow time. Saunas have become so huge now these days.
Yeah.
But these are all things that exist that your phone cannot withstand.
Yeah. I think we need to say no more often. Make no your friend. And it's not being a nasty person. Like, it's saying, right, if I'm saying yes to that, what am I actually saying no to? And that's a big one to me, because we tend to put especially family on the long finger because of unconditional love. So say to yourself, say no more often. Make that your friend. I think what's really key when we look at behavioural science and like changing your environment, like, your environment is so powerful. And that's in terms of, if you have your phone in your bedroom, you are so more likely to jump on your phone. If it's downstairs or it's in a safe, you're not going to access. You've changed the actual environment.
Yeah.
So have a look at your environment in terms of how that is distracting you. Change, if it's a cluttered environment, change the clutter. I like to have a clean environment, so there's, let me, mind is less cluttered when the environment is less cluttered. Change your relationship with your phone. Like, I'm actually looking in terms of, like, I consider myself to have good willpower, good discipline, bulletproof mental health, to be quite honest. I do believe that about myself, but the phone still pulls me in.
But it's because it's a habit.
Because it's a habit.
Yeah.
So I'm actually trying to break the habit, and I'm looking at buying a case safe now at the moment. It's like a safe that you get in the house. I'm just looking at different strategies to see what works for me.
I actually bought a Kindle this year. You'd swear I was the first person to ever own a Kindle.
I've
done so much bloody talking about the goddamn thing. But what I will say is, I have it in, I have it beside my phone at all times, and I've started to make a conscious effort to pick up the Kindle when I'm used to picking up my phone and scrolling. Now I'm picking up my Kindle and I'm reading a couple of pages of a book, and it's made the world of difference. Like, I only was talking about it yesterday. I was like, I'm sleeping like a baby these days.
Wow.
Because I'm not automatically on my phone at the end of the day.
Would you know what that is there, Laura? That's the golden rule of habit change. So let's say, right, I'm bored. That's the cue, that's the trigger. Pick up your phone.
Yeah.
But you're still, let's say it's a moment of boredom. Oh, what will I do? Pick up the Kindle.
Yeah.
So you're reclaiming your focus instead of it being stolen by the phone. But the when we think of a habit loop, you have a trigger, you have a behaviour, and you have a reward.
Yeah.
The trigger of the boredom or the stressor, let's say, is hard to change. But instead of picking up the phone, you're picking up the Kindle, and all of a sudden then you're rewarded in a different way.
So no, I'm not saying I'm not saying my screen time is down to nothing. I'm just saying that maybe for half an hour in the evening,
it's
that it baby has changed
steps.
A little bit.
Baby steps, that's the key.
Brian, thank you so much for coming in with us this morning. That was Dr. Brian Penny on how to reclaim your focus.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.